You're listening to sermons from Liberty Baptist Church in Newport Beach, California. For more information about Liberty or to donate to this ministry, you can visit us at libertybaptistchurch.org. We pray that the Lord will use this message to be a help and encouragement in your life.
I'm glad to see what the Lord is doing here at Liberty Baptist Church. You all been so good to me, and just a lot of great things have happened. And one good thing you've helped me with is you gave me these glasses before I went to Hawaii for our 35th wedding anniversary. I just want you to know today that I could see every color. Okay, see the other day, yeah, it was great. We went on a luau in the gardens, and I thought, man, I'm going to try these out. I've been working them in, and then all of a sudden, it's bang. Man, I thought, man, there are greens, and there are whatever other color, reds, and didn't know how to do it. But now I use these, because the other day, I had a burgundy shoe on and a black shoe on. And I thought, well, you just never know. It works. You know, God's people are good. Thank you so much. We enjoyed it. And now you guys are all in color today, and so I'll utilize that. You know, when I think about in color and I think about these glasses, I think about the day, January 7th, 1974, okay? I was 15 years old. I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. You know, on that day, I saw things differently. Kind of like these glasses. I get to see color. But not only that, now this, man, I'm on my way to heaven. There's nothing better than that. And I'm going to see all colors when I get to heaven. I guarantee you. And God loves everybody. But on that day, 1974, before then, I was struggling. I battled. I was raised in church. We went to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. We went soul winning. There's anything different that I'm doing today, now these many years later. You know, when I think about what God is doing, and I was struggling in those areas. I was struggling as a teenager, and I was struggling in my youth department. I was struggling with my parents. But I thought I was saved when I was six, and God just started working with me. The Holy Spirit started gnawing at me. Started saying, Doug, man, there's something not right. And I kept fighting the issue for many years. You know, I knew once saved, always saved. And I understand that. But when you just say words and you didn't mean it, and there was the thing, and you're 6 years old, you don't remember it. Finally, on that day, I walked forward. I made things right in front of my parents, right in front of the church, right in front of my youth department. And I said, I just need to get saved here today. I need to make things right. I need to just get it done and get it done now. And realize that, you know, God had a plan. You know, not long after that, you know, God did have a plan. And here I am today. I look back, and when I accepted Jesus, I look back and realize that, hey, I saw everything different. I saw my parents different. I saw my friends different. I went to high school and made a difference instead of just talking about it and just being a fake Christian, and decided to say, hey, I needed to make a change. You know, in God's word, there's a lot of changing, isn't there? I think of the woman at the well in John chapter 4. Wasn't there a big change there? Man, I tell you what, when she accepted Christ and believed, all of a sudden it was bang, and there it was. Man, and she was out there telling people about Jesus Christ. I think of Paul on the Damascus Road in Acts chapter 9. I just think of the stories throughout the Word of God. In Acts chapter 9, you imagine murderer of Christians, and God saved him. And all of a sudden, you know, we get the epistles of Paul. And then we look at Acts chapter 2. I love to read the book of Acts. And I realize in the book of Acts, you see Peter preaching and 3,000 saved. Guess what? They were saved, baptized, and then added to the church. I mean, just like that. You imagine being there and just seeing something like that? Revival right there. Man, you imagine today, and I think we could see that today. You know, I think we may do it differently today, but I tell you what, we still have the same God. You know, we still have the same God, but we got to realize that we need to have a new view on life. So I want you to turn your Bibles, if you would, please, to 2 Corinthians in chapter 5. In 2 Corinthians in chapter 5, I want you to look at verse 14. And let's read the scriptures today. And let the scriptures repeat themselves and help. But I'm going to ask you a question. What about you today? When you accepted Jesus Christ, your Savior, did you have a change of heart? Did you look at things differently? You know, and everybody does it differently, okay? Because we're all individuals. But just remember and look back, did you see it differently? I know that we see children accept the Lord. That gives them more time to serve God, okay? And I know we see teenagers accept the Lord. They got more time. And we see adults accept the Lord. Hey, whether they're young or older, let me tell you what. They have a new lease on life. They've got a new view. They're no longer a child of the devil. They're a child of the King. So let's look at some things here and what we could see here in 2 Corinthians. The Bible says in verse 14, it says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we all are dead." Think about the love of Christ. You know what? God's love needs to control us, okay? Not our flesh. But in verse 15, "And that he died for all, and that which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, know we know man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth we know him no more." But I love verse 17, and this is where we're going to be today. The Bible says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is what? A new creature. Old things are what? Behold, all things become new." You know, that's what needs to be a part of our life. What is your view on life today? Let's have a word of prayer. Father, I just pray that you just be with me. Lord, allow the Holy Spirit of God just to do a work. Thank you for wonderful people I get to serve with, and our pastor I get to serve with, and our staff. And Father, we just pray for this wonderful evening. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, in life, people crave new things. You know, I remember growing up in some things. I remember transistor radios. Remember those? I remember records. Some of you guys don't remember that. Now I'm telling my age. I was at that youth activity yesterday, and I really told my age, all right? But we had a lot of fun. But just think about, we have new gadgets. You know, we want new phones, we get new cars, clothes. We want a different hairstyle. People are always changing their look. But how much can you really change? Even in my day, let me tell you what. Once we had a little TV, and next thing you know, you had the TV antenna. Next thing you know, we got cable television. Not bad, huh? Just kind of goes with life. But you know what? Life is still going on today because there's a lot of other gadgets going on. A lot of gadgets I don't understand. I always have to ask for help. But what we need today is not better gadgets, not better education, more research, or more money. This won't give us abundant, filling life. You know, Paul is saying here in God's Word, and we study it through here in 2 Corinthians in chapter 5, we're going to see the need. We need Jesus along. We need Jesus along with a changed heart. We need to have a changed spirit. And listen, even you may be a Christian and been saved for a long time. It does not matter that you do have challenges in life. You with me? We all have challenges. We all have different views. We all have different journeys. And God's given us a different journey today. And when you accepted Jesus Christ, we took on new meaning and a new purpose in life. You and I can experience a new joy, not just happiness based on feelings. A new hope, not just based on circumstances. But we have a new home in heaven because someday we're going to reach that. You know, someday we're going to reach that time. We're going to have that new home. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. It says, All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. You know what reconciliation is? Is, hey, God taken me back there in 1974, a child of the devil, living for the devil, and now I've been reconciled unto my heavenly Father, Jesus Christ. You know, there's all different terms in this area of reconciliation. In this chapter, it talks a lot, few times, about the area of being reconciled. But when I accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, man, I was reconciled. Hey, no longer I was a child of the devil. I was a child of the King. And we look into this thing, but what does that mean today? So let me give it to you today. Number one, we all have an old past. We all do. We all have an old past. And the Bible says old things are passed away. But let me just tell you today, we all have a past. Tell you what, I have a past. You know, I have a past, and even though I was saved, and you know what? But God brought me in when I got away from Him. You know, I'm reconciled again and brought to Jesus Christ. But yet this area is, we all have a past. We all realize that, hey, whether you accepted Christ at 48 years old, though it's all that gone, all that sin, old things are passed away, it's time to look forward to the new, because God has another plan for you. But yet we just want to live under that little bubble and say, I don't want to get out, and we want to live in that. That's the way Satan wants you to live. When you look at verse 14, it talks about Christ's love. Verse 15 is talking about the death and that we need to live for Him, and Christ's death, and we need to live for Him. Verse 16, Christ is being made known. But in verse 17, reconciliation begins. And if you know the Lord, you are no longer a child of the devil. But sometimes we hinder the Lord working in us. And there are many reasons that we do. We don't need to live in regrets and past mistakes. You know what? People always live in regret and past mistakes. Need to forget them and go on. And forget what other people think. Don't live in guilt over your wrongs. Don't live a life of shouldas, couldas, and wouldas. It's kind of like my golf game. That's what I do every time I hit. I should have used that club. I should have did this. I would have done that. Things would have been better. And I had a score of 110. All right? I just said, you know, there it is. But that's the way our life is. I should have did this. I would have did this if this would have happened. But let me tell you life. Don't choose to live in failure today, hopelessness, and in sorrow. Our sins have been dealt with on the cross. I love that song, Beyond the Cross. It's my favorite song. Man, and to realize what the cross is. Christ extends His forgiveness to all known and that know Him. You know, we heard a great message today from our pastor, didn't we? Man, I tell you what, that message on forgiveness hit home. And to realize that, hey, Christ extends His forgiveness to all that know Him. You know, I love the scriptures. The Bible says in Luke 5:20, and when He saw their faith, He said unto him, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. Hebrews 8:12, for I will be merciful unto thy unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Let me tell you what, that is Jesus saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. That is Jesus today. In 1 Peter chapter 2, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin shall live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving to one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Think of all this. It's all through Scripture. The Bible speaks for itself. And to realize that, hey, we got to have a new view on life. That new view is we need to forget the old things. We need to just put them off. It's kind of like the story goes like this. A beggar lived near a king's palace. One day he saw a proclamation posted outside the palace gate. The king was giving a great dinner. Anyone dressed in royal garments are welcome. The beggar went on his way. He looked at the rags he was wearing and sighed. Slowly had an idea crept in his mind. He made his way back to the palace. He approached the guard at the gate. Please, sir, I would like to speak to the king. Wait here, the guard replied. In a few minutes, he was brought before the king. What do you want? The king asked. Yes, your majesty, I want so much to attend the banquet, but I have no royal robes to wear. Please, sir, if it may be so bold, may I have one of your old garments so that I too may come to your banquet. The beggar was trembling in fear and what the king might do. You have been wise in coming to me, the king said. He called his son, the young prince, over. Take this man to your room and array him in some of your clothes. The prince did as he was told, and soon the beggar was standing before a mirror, clothed in garments that he had never dared to hope for. You are now the prince said, "You are now eligible to attend the king's banquet tomorrow night," said the prince. "But even more important, you will never need those other clothes. These garments will last forever." The beggar dropped to his knees, said, "Oh, thank you," he cried. But as he started to leave, he looked back at that pile of dirty rags. In the floor, he hesitated. And what if the prince was wrong? And what if he needed the old clothes again? So he quickly gathered them up. The banquet was far greater than he ever imagined. But he could not enjoy himself as he should. He made a small bundle of his old rags, and he kept falling on his lap. He just kept them with him. He was just sitting there, keeping with him. The food was passed by quickly, and the beggar missed some of the greatest delicacies. Time proved that Prince was right. No one came to ask for the royal clothes. Still, the poor beggar was doubtful, clinging on to the old rags. As time passed, people seemed to forget the royal robes he was wearing. They saw the only little bundle of filthy rags that he clung to wherever he went. They even spoke of him as an old man with the rags. Many weeks later, he was laid dying. The king visited him. The beggar saw the sad look on the king's face. When he looked at the small bundle of rags by the bed, suddenly the beggar remembered the prince's words. And he realized that his bundle of rags had cost him a lifetime of joy. He wept bitterly at his folly. My friend, we have seen, and we have to learn these things differently now. When I become a butterfly, we cannot continue to think as a caterpillar. As a butterfly, I don't crawl like a caterpillar. But we're going to lean on Christ and find victory in life and let the world know we have a great God and a great Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, when I think I read that illustration, I thought I had to use it today. Because many people are still holding on to the old rags. Okay? Thought about bringing a wagon out here and pulling something heavy. I thought about bringing Brian up here and dragging him along. But then I thought, you know, there's nothing better than something like this. Because you want peace with God. You want to have a walk with Jesus. You want to say old things are passed away. But you got to be willing to put it away. You got to be willing to say, "Listen, I've been holding on to things. I've been holding on to some of the past I've been sorry for. It's always coming up." You know, the Bible says, "Let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus." You know, the battle is in the mind. Let me just tell you today, the battle's in the mind today. That's where Satan wants to hit you. That's where he hits me first, anyway. Let me tell you what, when we think about this, it's just like putting these old things. You know, these are ugly. This is what he wore. He was a beggar. Didn't have much clothes. But he was giving something new. And the thing is, we were given something new when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. But what's happening is people just want to keep this dragging along, but yet it's hindering you. It's hindering your walk with God. It's hindering you serving the Lord. It's hindering. It doesn't matter who you are. It just hinders. It hinders your relationship at home. It hinders your friends. Let me tell you what. Satan is real and he's powerful today. And Jesus is real too. And he can help you be the overcomer. But yet we want to drag on and drag on. And realize that, hey, what am I going to do with this? The Bible says in Romans chapter 1, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Charity suffered long and is kind. Charity envied not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. Do not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not their own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoice not in iniquity, but rejoice in truth. Beareth all things. Believeth all things. Hopeth all things. Endureth all things." I love this verse in Philippians chapter 3. It says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." You know, tonight, let me just tell you today, what we need to do is, we need to just kind of say, "Listen, I don't need this anymore." You may be saved, and you've gotten away from the Lord, let me just tell you today, you just need to walk away and come back. Jesus wants you back. He's always been there. We've always let our past, maybe some things gone on since the day of your salvation, and you're wanting to come back, and you're not, because you're just letting the old things, and once Christ forgives you, it is all gone. You know, the one thing that I do know is that we need to walk away. So here's what we need to do. If you're going to have a new life in Christ, you need to throw it all away. It's gone. But yet we want to just let Satan just bind us and think about it and realize that, hey, the old, let me tell you today, the old is gone, the new is here. You got a new view. You know, you may be here today and Satan's just beating you up in the mind. I'm telling you today, give it all over. Give it at the cross. It was all that beyond the cross. Think about it. The tomb was empty. Number two, we have a new present. Okay, we have an old past, don't we? But now we have a new present. You know, when I look at that example of the new life, the new life with the eyes that see, the ears that hear, living as one who has tasted and seen what is truly good, living free from deception and false hopes of this world, living in a light of how we will spend eternity, living focused on eternal rewards, living fully known and fully loved, living not as a slave to sin, but as a child of the King, living a new life. Let me tell you today, when you accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, you put the old things, you are now a new creature. So live like a new creature. You know, live like a new creature. You know, think about it. How do we do this? You've been given a life in Christ. You're no longer dead, but you're alive unto God. Hey, I'm no longer a slave to sin. It is your choice now if you want to sin. It's your choice now if you want to fall in the flesh. It's your choice now if you want to go your own way. But let me tell you what, if you're a child of God here today, God will have his own way. And God has a way of bringing us back to him. We may have a child that's out of the will of God. God has a way of bringing them back to him. It just starts on our knees. Man, God has a way of just bringing it all into perspective. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't battle with the flesh. Live in the Spirit, because everything's here. Hey, live in the Spirit and realize I have a responsibility. I got another illustration. I've not been very good at this, but today it just all came to me last night. Hey, I took this from a little girl, but I'll give it back, all right? She's sweet. All right. Hey, I took this. I thought, oh, this would be a great illustration. It really is. It's costume jewelry. You know, maybe from a distance, you'll say, hey, it looks pretty good. Doesn't it? Maybe not, but it's costume jewelry. You know what Christians do? Let's just be frank. Sometimes we play costume Christian. Oh, I'm saved. I speak all the right things, the right lingo. I could do it. But yet, really, you don't live it here. You just talk about it. You know, you just want people to personify and just say, listen, I'm a Christian. I go to church. Go to Liberty Baptist Church. Tell me your pastor is, what you do. You could even be a Sunday school teacher and still be a costume Christian. You know what we need today? Let me tell you, Jesus is coming back. Tell you, he's coming back before you know it. I cannot believe 35 years of marriage has gone by just that fast. Let me tell you what, we have 6 children and 4 out of the house and married and getting ready to have children. And I'm telling you what, man, life has gone by so fast. I started a ministry at First Baptist Church Long Beach. I was 21 years old. I am 59 coming up. And I thought, man, all those years have gone by so fast. And I thought back and I thought, I wish I could have done some things different. And we all can say that. But I tell you what, today I could do things different. You know, 17 years ago, I'll be honest with you, I came here wounded. I did. I came here wounded. You know, had a good church. You know, God was good. Pastor Tomlinson asked we'd come here. And I knew it was the best thing for our family, but I sure loved what was going on. But I was still struggling with some things. And I wanted my kids to have a better school. Wanted them to grow up and they had a Christian school. I was just battling in my mind. Man, and it's all in my mind. I just kept thinking, people don't like me or things aren't going well. What do people think about me because I'm leaving my church and coming here? But I tell you what, that was the best thing that ever happened to me. Church still going. God's work still going. There's always a replacement. No one's indispensable. But man, the thing is, it was a battle in the mind. Man, I tell you what, this church has been good. It's helped me raise my children. Helps raise my kids in youth department. I think you ought to keep your kids in the youth department. Amen. You know, you're not going to agree with everything. Keep your kids in the youth department. Okay? Listen, I don't always agree with everything I do or I say. But let me tell you what, keep your kids. Let me tell you what, we say, well, let's punish them from this. I think kids need camp. So make every effort to get them in camp. I tell you what, that's where God got a hold of me. You know, that's where it all started. Started with those doubts. But let me tell you, I no longer wanted to be a costume Christian. You know, I love people. You love people, but we can fake it. I love the smile. I just smile. I've been smiling my whole life. I don't know why I smile. You know, things go bad, and I'm still smiling. All right? The ones that know me the best know me, though. But, you know, the thing is, let's don't be that way. You know, let's put on something that Christ wants you to have. He wants to give you that sweet spirit back. Maybe you lost it. You know, he wants to give you some other things, but yet you're not ready for it yet because you're still being haughty, allowing pride to interfere. You know, it's a new life. And I know what Paul is saying here and is talking about, but we need to be reconciled unto Christ and realize that, hey, I got a responsibility. And I need to give the appearance that I do love Jesus with my heart, and people know that. But you decide today, because you could leave that at the altar today. You know, that's where change begins. It's that new life. Let me tell you how to get started. Wrote these down. I thought, you know, if you are not saved here today and you have never accepted Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, the best decision you can make today is to accept Him and not fight Him. That's the best decision. That if thou shalt confess in thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God raised from it, thou shalt be saved. And let me tell you what. It's not to me, it's to Jesus Christ. He's the one that saves you. God uses us as tools. I did not save anybody. God used me as a tool to talk to somebody. God used you as a tool to talk to somebody. How do you get started? You know, after salvation, I think everybody needs to be baptized. That's the first step of obedience. The Bible commands it. You know, there in Acts chapter 2, verse 41, they that glad received his word were baptized and added to his church. I think discipleship is a way to start. You know, we have discipleship, and we want people to learn discipleship and learn the Word of God and learn doctrines and know what you believe instead of just thinking what you believe. Know what you believe. Find a connection group. If you're here today and you come to church, I think, and you wonder why you have no friends, find a connection group that's a little smaller. That's why we have connection groups. That was my plug for my devoted class, but the thing of it is, listen, there's a lot of other classes. We have young couples classes, older couple classes. You know, we have different classes for you, men's class, ladies' class. Let me tell you, you ought to be a part of one. Get to know people, other people around you. Be in church. Come to church when the doors are open. We have a wonderful pastor. And I tell you what, these last 3 years have been just wonderful. I tell you what, God has blessed, and God has done some miracles here, and God has used our pastor in a wonderful way. And let me tell you what, we just don't just be talkers. We need to be hearers of God's word, and when he preaches, be willing to say amen. There's nothing wrong with that. Man, so be it. I agree. That's good. Lastly, not only do we have an old past, we have a new present. But I want you to know tonight, you have a bright future. You know, I know the bright future. You go to the beginning of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it's describing heaven just a little bit there. Let me tell you what, heaven's going to be a great place, but we're here right now. Because boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I plan on serving the Lord tomorrow morning. Okay? Plan on being where I need to be. But let me tell you what, that's what your attitude needs to be. We need to have a bright future. Because blessings on this earth are rewards in heaven. Did you hear me? Blessings on this earth are rewards in heaven. Listen. If you go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, look at it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his own body according to that he had done, whether it be good or bad. You know, we know one thing. You don't get to heaven by how good you are. It's not your works that get you there. But I tell you what, after salvation, let me tell you what, we're going to be judged on what we've done for the Lord. We're going to be judged what we've done for him and how we served him. Let me tell you what, I want to stand before God knowing that I did the right things. Not how you start your life, it's how you end your life. Man, you go back and realize in verse 18, I've already read that, and he says, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Do you know that God can use you today to bring someone to Jesus Christ? You know that God can use you today, that someone who is saved and not walking with the Lord like they should, you can bring them, you can lead them back to the Lord, but it's Jesus that does it. Jesus wants you back. Jesus wants you back, but he said in verse 20, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation again. But verse 20 is right here. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye what? Reconciled to God. You know what an ambassador is? You all know. I'm not telling you anything different. It's one who represents our Lord daily. Approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, empowered by the Holy Spirit. You know, we're all ambassadors. We all represent God wherever we go. If you have a job tomorrow, you just represent the Holy Spirit. Represent God. Don't put on the costume jewelry and fake it. Be real today. Hey, go when you go to your family's house, don't just talk about it. Be real. Because we all represent Jesus Christ. If you're a child of the King here today, let me tell you what, you do not need these old rags, these old clothes. Man, they are done. Just leave them at the cross today. Leave them at the altar. And just say, it is done. You know, sometimes ambassadors of Jesus Christ, we get off kilter a little bit. Hey, we get away. But let me tell you what, when you hear the word of God like we heard this morning, that's what helps us stay in. That's why we have church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Amen? And let me tell you what, hey, keep us straight and keep us there. And as pastor preaches God's word, adhere to it, you know, and realize that, hey, we have a future. We have the old past is gone. We have a present. We're here today. You're alive and well. We need to do something with it. You know, we need to decide, hey, I want change, but we have a new life. You need to do something about it. And so today I'm going to ask you, what are you going to do about it? And I'm going to put it all together right here now. I call it my how-tos. How do we put it all together? How do we apply this message tonight? Number one, renew your mind. Satan will attack your mind first. And the thing is, stay alert. Okay? Stay alert. Renew your mind daily. Just stay alert. Okay, second one is, they got it right there. Right, stay in God's will. In my life, I got to be with some old-time preachers. And then I got the opportunities I get today. I just enjoy it. They're just younger crowd now. I go pick them up. Man, I remember always picked up Curtis Hudson, always. So Pastor Chapel would tell me, hey, this is the time he's coming in. That's when you could go at the airport, walk up there to the gate, not having a problem. You know, you pick him out, pick him up. But then, you know, as I got to spend time with him and talk to him. Man, he gave me a lot of insight. He wrote the New Believer's book. I can't think of it right now, but there is one on God's will in there. And the one thing that I always remembered, he was talking to me and just sharing with me that book. He says, when you're in doubt about something, play safe and don't do anything until God gives you the go-to. And in there, hey, he says, talk to your pastor. Hey, you know, talk to counselors that are older than you are, maybe wiser than you are. We could learn from everybody, but there's wisdom in that. You know, he's just telling me, but the one thing that I remember totally everything is, Doug, when you're seeking God's will and you're doubting and you don't have peace, don't do anything about it until God opens the door. And man, that is so true. I've seen that. I walked to the door because I got a little hasty. And guess what? I had to come back. But then I walked through the door and it was wide open. You know why? Because God was ready for me to move through that door. And that goes to our lives here today. You know, stay in God's will. Lastly, let me share this one. Got that one. Don't live in the past. Live with a renewed purpose to serve God with your future. I love that one. Don't live in the past. Live with a renewed purpose to serve God with your future. You want freedom today? Let's take care of it right now. You want freedom? I'm telling you, you could have it today because God is there willing for you. If you're here today, I know that you've been saved. A lot of you, most everybody in here has been saved. But I tell you what, do you really have the walk with God that you want? Are you still living on the past? You're still living as a costume? Let's be real today. Freedom comes through Jesus, not through anybody else. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for the opportunity just to preach your word. I thank you for such wonderful people. But Lord, we just need to come to the altar and just cast some things out right now. What it is, whatever it is, Father, I just pray that we'll just do it so we could just come clean, serve God with a pure heart. Maybe there's one here that just needs to get, you know, just needs to realize they have a bright future. Maybe there's one here that's having trouble with a mind game, and they just need to give their mind over to you.
Thanks for listening to Messages from Liberty. Tune in next week for more helpful Bible teaching, or subscribe on iTunes to stay up to date with our current series.